Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply, deeply, deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful November 10th day, 2018. We're going to look at a book, Behave, by Robert M. Sapolsky. I have been reading it for the last 4 or 5 months. And it is a real trip, and I talk a lot about it in different discourses and podcasts and video casts. I talk about the premise of it, and I talk a lot about it, believe it or not, with my students. I think it should be major reading for everyone. It explains so many things about human nature and what it's all about. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about it today because I have talked about it and I'm getting questions about it, and I'm very interested in these questions. And I mentioned him in my radio broadcast as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I have three wonderful questions on it. I want to remind you, we're in our fundraising drive to keep Aspire alive, to keep it functional, to keep it active, to keep it relative to people's lives. I do hospice work, hospital work, radio, TV, podcast, video. You know all I do. I don't need to tell you. Anyway, it is only through your financial support, your tax-deductible gift, that I'm able to continue or even maintain any of my offerings. Everything, of course, as you know, costs money, and I need to pay for the airtime and all the incidentals that go along with travel, gasoline, car repair, things like that. There's all sorts of things that happen, and I need your support, and without it, I cannot serve humankind. So I hope you will be very generous and kind with your donations and help us sustain our radio, TV, our entire effort here on Aspire. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll find out that our mystery donor is matching all donations till the end of the year, and I hope that you will help us and sustain my effort to serve humankind in this way. It's a very unusual way. Thank you for that. Let's talk about Behave. It's about, according to the book, the biology of humans and our best and worst. And I'm telling you, this should be something that you should read if you're really interested in why you function the way you function, why you think the way you do, why humankind does what it does. It's a very important thing to understand, to, I don't want to say believe in, but to educate yourself on. And it is profound. And not only is it scientific, but it's so very true. I don't want to sound like an anti-town, but for years I have been talking about this and scolded by my colleagues and people who would come and hear me when I would say it is all in your genetics, it's all in the chemistry, you are nothing but chemistry in your body. And if you don't step away from that chemistry and that body, you're going to be subject to only what the body wants and does and thinks, and the context of everything that is in your brain that forces you to believe in some act you're doing, and all of the things, the mischief we get into. It is all biological and run by DNA. You don't have any choices in the matter, nor do I, until we want to step away from all of this. And by the way, Sapolsky is a meditator. He does meditate. There are two books, or three books really, that I think every person should read, especially teenagers who are going into this world in high school. The first, of course, is Sapiens, and then from there you go to the second book, Homo Deus, by Havari, and then we get to this one, Behave. And once you understand this, Once you understand those three books and you start to get a grip on what your body is doing, what your genetics are doing, how powerful this DNA is within us that wants us to make babies and force us into certain acts of war and ugliness inside of ourselves, then you start to really get why the world is the way it is, why you and I act the way you and I act, and what we can do about stepping away from it. First question comes from Morris. He does not tell me where he lives. The book you speak of, Behave, is depressing. Seems we are just nothing but flesh, blood, and bones, right? Aren't we more, Morris? Morris, in our physical form, we are flesh, blood, and bones, and that's it. And for the most part, those three elements and the chemicals that run our body, if you read his book, run your life, run my life. And if I were to allow my flesh, blood, and bones to just run my life, I would eventually turn into a version of my mother and father, and I would be stuck in the endless loop of the physical stupidity of Ed and Gene Penn. And I have been caught in it. I have. I've have to every day yank myself out of it. Every single day I have to do it. And the yanking kind of comes down to the whole idea that I have to go into third person. And let me explain this to you, Morris, and all of you listening. Until you really can see the compulsions that you and I have in our body chemistry and what those compulsions are about and how they work and the way they work and what they're really, really doing to me and making me believe this and making me believe that and wanting me to go here and not go there and how it defines my emotions and makes me crazy and makes me believe that if I don't have this, I will die. If I don't go there, I will be left behind. All of these things that the mind twists and turns over, emotionally speaking, have to do with my chemistry, my body chemistry. So when I am living my life in accord with my flesh, bone, and blood, as you say, Morris, the thing that starts to happen is I awaken certain genetic dispositions within me. And these dispositions will start to have their way with me. They'll start to define my life, my behaviors, and all of the things that I do that make me, quote-unquote, act out as a genetic reproduction of Ed and Gene Penn and their ancestors and their ancestors. And there are legions of these people living within us. And I talk about this often in my work with my students at retreat. And at the retreat that is going to be happening, in fact, it's happening right now as we speak, as it were, I'm going to be talking about living as meat. We are nothing but the meat, as I call it. And I have a question here from Rick at the bottom of the page here that talks about that. We'll get to that. But that's about all it's about, Morris, until we go into third person. You have to wake up. And people don't wake up. They just don't do it. They don't want to wake up because the sleep that we are in, spiritually speaking, is there because we are constantly indulging our biological body with chemistry and neurons and synapses firing off and living off the dopamines and all the stuff, the chemistry. You can read all about it in the book. I highly recommend the book. And you must study the book. And of course, people don't want to do that. After you get to a certain place, you think you've got this life by the huevos rancheros and you don't need to understand these things, but you do because the reason you don't think you need to understand these things is the very point of the book, that you don't want to understand them because your genetics won't let you understand them. We only go as far as we go, and that's it. Haven't you ever wondered why we are the way we are? Such great power is given to so few on this planet as far as life and death. Have you ever wondered why that is? Why governments have more power over us than we have over ourselves? And why there's even government at all? Because we can't govern ourselves? Do you ever think about those things and what that might mean in the course of your own lifetime? It's a very, very big and important thing. We are soulless. We have absolutely no interest in our soul. We have no soul to fall back on. We are not inspired by it. We are inspired by hate and fear, Morris. And that is our genetic nature, just trying to survive. That's what it's all about. And you can't go out and correct people for this and say, oh, don't do that. That's immoral. It won't work. Have you ever wondered how anyone could put a spike in the hand of a man who was totally enlightened, that only taught love? It not only happened to Jesus, it happened to Socrates. It would have happened to Buddha had he lived in the city. His brother was trying to kill him all the time. We saw it with Gandhi, Anwar Sadat. We saw anyone who has, so to speak, changed, transformed. Even Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King were trying to invoke a sense of oneness on this planet. But we don't put up with that. And it's a lot to do with behave. Anyway, read the book, Morris. Read it, read it, read it. I know you think it's depressing because it isn't saying what you want to hear in the language you want to hear it, which is you have the power and the glory forever. Amen. It isn't about that. It's about hard science, just the reality of a given situation of where we're at and why we do what we do. And you need to understand it. And maybe one day it will gross you out enough to begin your spiritual journey. I hope it does. Morris, thank you for your question. Keep reading. Be brave. Namaste. You know, forgive me too. You know, it takes great courage to go against what you believe. Great courage to go against what you want to believe. Great courage to go against your genetics. It does. It takes great, great courage. And most people aren't of it. Love takes more courage than hate. Believe me. Next one. From Stan in San Diego. So the book, Behave, that you talk about, proves that there's no God. Is that true, Stan? Stan, if you have no soul, and which you obviously don't, you will not understand the nature of this universe. And hence, it will look to you and you will come to the conclusion that there is no God. Now, whether or not you believe in God or not matters not to anything. It is not something that is the tipping point at all. What is important is that Behave shows the structure of the body, the chemistry, the human being, and it shows exactly what we are like when we physically run amok, which is what we do. We run amok. We have no sense of the presence of anything other than the chemistry. You're only as good as your chemistry is. And if your chemistry says this or starts flowing in this direction, then that's the direction you will go into. And I guarantee you it's genetic and it has a lot to do with the self-preservation that comes with DNA. And the more you read the book, the more you realize the farce of religion, the farce of human belief, the farce of government. You start to understand the farce of your own life. And you really realize that even your own life was a farce, and still may be. And then you can start to realize, I wonder if I can step out of this, if I can actually move away from my biology, my human nature. And you can. And that's the whole point, I think, of the book, is if you stay there, you're going to suffer. You will, as Jesus talked about, die in your sins. Because that is exactly what happens. You die in your sins. But if you choose to awaken, if you have the intelligence, the compassion to seek awakening, if there's something within you that says, I don't have to live this way, I don't have to live by my biology, I can live with it, but I don't have to be influenced in it, then you have something magnificent. It's the art of living in the body, but not from the body. To live in the world, but not let the world live in you. Now, you've got to decide who this, and I'm going to use this term, you is in you. What is listening to me now? Is it your biology listening to me right now? Is it your ancestors who are listening to me right now and arguing the points? Or is it you? Are you not curious at all about what exists beyond the premise of your biology, forcing you, impulsing you, compelling you to live emotionally, psychologically, physiologically? Aren't you a bit curious about your neurosis, your psychosis, your narcissism, all of that stuff that every human being has? Are you not interested in finding out what that might be all about and where that resides in you and why it's there and how to step away from it? I know that you could spend your whole life working on this, and that's what we're here for. You're not here to eat, drink, and be merry. Everybody just thinks that this is supposed to be one gigantic party. It should be a celebration, but I don't know if it's a party. A party is where you just mindlessly succumb to the whole genetic nature, the whole biological thing, and just get involved in that. And that's all you care about. That's all you think about. Party, party, party. How to escape yourself instead of, well, in the beginning, how to realize what's going on inside there and then realize that that's not you. It is a very fine line, and a very rare person who can look at their biology and understand this is happening at a physiological level. It is not happening as me. You are not your physiology. You are not your psychosis, neurosis. You are none of those things. But if you want to stay in those things and believe that you are those things, and you just want to let them run your life, you let them run your life. But you and I, if we do that, we can't bitch about it. We can't. It is what it is, what it is, and we do what we do, what we do, and we live the way we live, and that's just the way we are. But if you want an extraordinary life, a life worth living, as Socrates said, he said, a life that is not examined, an unexamined life, is not worth living. That got him killed. He also said, know thyself. That got him killed. You have to look at it. Do you want to know yourself? Do you want to look and examine the state of your life and what it is that constitutes every impulse, everything you do, and ask yourself, really, in all honesty, can I be honest and look at everything that is going on inside me and see it for what it is? Or are you the type of person that just wants to get through. It's all about self-preservation and having a few good times, working real hard to afford a really good Christmas or a really good Thanksgiving and a really good birthday party and a really good vacation, and that's it. Maybe have a good home, a good car, whatever. All the things that most people look at and think of as the most important things in life. Most people are like that. They don't even regard their life. Their life is of no real regard to them. Does it prove that there's no God? It doesn't prove there is or isn't. It isn't about that at all. One thing it certainly shows, we're soulless. And I thank him. I respect him for what he's done and how beautiful his book is. And I'm on the third pass, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to read it and read it. I have read a lot of books in my day. Oh, the ones I had to read in seminary were so painful, and I never bought them inside my head. It was all such gobbledygook. And people live in gobbledygook all the time. And you know you can sell it, too, to people. You can sell gobbledygook to anybody. Remember when it was mediums? Remember? Everybody was doing the medium thing where they were talking to another entity inside a person. And then from there, it became a course in miracles. There's miracles. And then, what was it? Angels, you know, things like that. These trends go on and on and on because people don't want to delve into and examine what is really going on inside them. They don't want to know. They just want their fantasies. So if you're willing to give up your fantasy, this is the book. If you're not willing to give up the fantasy, then obviously you need to stay away from the book. Stand, read the book. It has nothing to do with is there or is there not a God. It just is showing you human nature and what it's really all about. And it's doing it in a very, very intelligent way. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Rick, and I love this. He talked about the book, and he likes the book. He's one of the few that read it that really went, wow. And he said just this, Greg, so much flesh. What chance do we have, Rick? Yes, Rick, you're right. So much flesh. We live by the flesh. We die by the flesh. We live as flesh, blood, and bones, and not as the matter of love and the quality of a spirit that is so beautiful. We just miss it all because we're so busy trying to get our flesh to be something divine, which it can't be. So I understand what you're saying, but the object of the effort, the object of the practice, the object of everything that is important in this world is to transcend the flesh and move into the heart, into love. Not emotional love, of course, which he explains in his book, but real love. The love that penetrates beyond the ideals of emotionality. You will find it in your meditation. You will find it in living in third person. You will find it in not having conversations with your mind, with your thoughts. Not feeling obligated to having those conversations, but simply living consciously, aware, separate from all of this. And any one of us can do this at any time in our life. And I think it's high time for you to consider this. And Rick, until you find your soul, it's only going to be about the flesh. I hate to say it, but that is the truth. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, Rick. And thank you for your wonderful email. Thank you for listening. All of you, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.